Now I primarily work with brands looking for who align with my message of positivity. So rather than me reaching out to clients saying, "Hey, do you need blah 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 list of graphic design requirements?" It's like you have a really positive brand and idea, and we'd love to collaborate with you to bring your perspective into our brand message.
Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. I'm Katie Sandel, brand strategist, designer, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency. I teach brand, graphic, and web designers how to get more clients, increase their pricing, and build profitable design businesses in a simple and sustainable way. We have online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, as well as our coaching and mastermind high-touch experience for creatives. You can find out more about starting and growing your design business at aventiveacademy.com. But until then, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. Hello and welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. Before we start, I would like you to introduce yourself and tell us what is that you do.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Ashwin Chacko, and I am a positively playful author, illustrator, and motivational speaker.
I love that. It sounds positive. And I love your background. And I know that most of our listeners won't be able to see your background, but I love all the illustrations that I can see. Okay, so I'm going to start with a big question. Can you walk us through your process for developing a unique visual style that sets you apart in a crowded market? Because your visuals are definitely totally different than anything I've seen.
Starting with the hard stuff, huh?
Right. How did you come up with that style? How did it start?
Sure. So style is very much an iterative process. So I think it's been developing since I started drawing. With each change in me as a person, it shifted a little. But I think this particular style really came out of the pandemic. So in 2020, up till this point, I had been working as a graphic design illustrator. 2019, I decided to go full-time illustration, but I was still working through what I really wanted as a style. And I hadn't really honed in to my purpose per se. And so 2020 really allowed me that moment to reconsider the direction of my work altogether. And I started asking myself some really hard questions like, why do I do what I do? And what sort of impact do I want to make? And where do I want to go with this? Because I'd spent so long pursuing the dream of becoming an illustrator that I hadn't given it the time to think about what would I do when I did become one. And so here I was in 2020, the world was paused, and I actually had the time to consider this. And that time of deep consideration allowed me to figure out my purpose, which was to bring joy and encouragement in everything I do. And I believe style is the bridge between who you are and what you want to say. So clarifying my goals and who I was as a person, as well as my purpose and my key message, then allowed me to work out what was the best language to bring that forward into the world. And so my style was an evolution of those things. So I believe style comes from four things. It starts with inspiration. It starts with inspiration. Then it leads to imitation, and then iteration, and then finally innovation. So those are the four eyes of style. And then the choices, it comes down to, again, four you have to make: color, shape, texture, and line. And so the process of choosing between these two sets of well, between these eight sets of things, allowed me to hone into my specific style. So my style comes from, number one, I enjoy printmaking. So that's why the big blocky shapes came from that. The color tone is sort of a mix between India and Ireland. So it has the yellows and the oranges and the warm tones from India because I was missing the sun and the colors. And then the greens and blues are really from the rich tones here in Ireland that I'm seeing every day. And then the composition and everything else is all built by the message, which is, again, comes down to bringing joy and encouragement.
Yeah. And is that where the positivity is coming from? Is that also one of your whys, like helping people feel positive?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it, bringing the joy and to encourage people in their own journey. So that's where the whole drive for optimism comes as well.
Yeah. And would you say that you're a graphic designer or an illustrator?
I'd say I'm an illustrator now, but I started off as a graphic designer.
Okay. And how was that process of going from a graphic designer to an illustrator? Because I'm thinking of someone who does graphic design, maybe they have more of like a commercial clients, you know, working on brochures and flyers or visual identities, you know, like brand designers. And then an illustrator, like, who do you work with now?
Yeah, for sure. So I think I still work with a lot of the same sort of clients I would as graphic designers, because while I was a graphic designer, I got asked to do illustrative stuff. But now I have a much clearer break as in how much of the design stuff I will do. And the type of clients as well have slightly shifted. It's still within the realm of advertisement. So I was mainly working as a graphic designer for advertising. So within a brand package, you still have illustrations, right? Within packaging, you still have illustrations. That's what makes the packaging pop. So now I primarily work with brands looking for who align with my message of positivity. So rather than me reaching out to clients saying, hey, do you need blah, 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 list of graphic design requirements, it's like, you have a really positive brand and idea, and we'd love to collaborate with you to bring your perspective into our brand message. And so that's sort of how it works right now. Yeah,
I love that. So what strategies do you use to find and attract new clients at the moment?
So far, I think my primary strategy is to build my own personal brand. And the more I do that, the more eyeballs I get on my brand, the more clients it attracts. So far, that's how it has worked. I haven't really done any cold emailing or anything like that, especially since 2020. It's just been like people approaching me based on the type of areas, but it's specifically within certain realms as well. So specifically within the realm of advertisement is one section that I work in. The second section is specifically within children's books, because I write and illustrate my own children's books as well as do stuff within that industry, as it were. So for instance, it might be a book cover or something like that. So now brands are approaching me, or publishers are approaching me based on those specific realms. And then I also do motivational speaking. So then they're reaching out to me to come and encourage their team. And again, the cool thing about this whole thing is that it's all centered around that key ethos or my why, to bring joy and encouragement. So it keeps coming back to that. And so that is sort of what I use as my choice metric, as it were. So if a brand, whether the client is going to fit within that ethos of bringing joy or encouragement or not. If they are, then yes, I'll work with them. If they're not, then they're not quite the right client for me.
I love that because a lot of designers, a lot of creatives are actually afraid of having their own style. They all want to have their own style, but then they're afraid that they're going to lose on some other potential clients because they feel that if they narrow down or find their niche, they're excluding some people, which is the case, but you're getting only the ones that you actually really want to work with. That's how in my branding and design agency, we have a niche as well. And we do have our style as well. Okay, so you focus on inbound marketing, I would say, where people are coming to you. What platforms do you think they find you through the most? Is that, if you're talking about specific platforms, is that like Pinterest or Instagram, or you think they Google?
I'd say it's a mix between LinkedIn, Google, and Instagram. These are the three. I found LinkedIn is a highly underrated platform for creatives, and I think more creatives should be using it because if you think about it, where do all the businesses hang out? They hang out on LinkedIn. They're not really on Instagram. They're not interacting with on Instagram. They might have a social media manager managing their Instagram, but you'll actually be able to make real connections with people who could potentially hire you on LinkedIn's directly versus through a third party. So I've found LinkedIn has been really good. Also, the ethos is completely different. It's okay to share your work. That's kind of what they're expecting. It's okay to message people and say, hey, let's connect, because it's expected on that platform. Whereas something like Instagram or any of the other social platforms, it's a little more personal. It's almost like personal social media, or it depends on how they're using their account. And so a DM sometimes will be like, why are you messaging me here? You know, because it's like they're looking at pictures of their friends or their dog or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I see a lot of creatives struggle with finding clients because they focus on wrong platforms. They focus on platforms that they prefer versus platforms where their ideal clients hang out, which is, you know, Instagram is a very visual platform. And yes, we love it. We all love scrolling through it, getting some inspiration, looking into other designers' work. But as you mentioned, like to your point, a lot of businesses have their social media managers and your message won't even get to the right person. And social media manager would even say you're not interested or they'll just ignore you versus LinkedIn.
Yeah, they don't necessarily have the authority to respond back, or they just have like a preset, here's your answer that you give to everybody who messages you.
Yeah, exactly. Versus like on LinkedIn, you can actually connect with real people, with real business people. And whoever logs in into LinkedIn, they already have that mindset. It's a business platform. I'm not there to waste my time and go through reels.
Yeah.
So when you're on LinkedIn, what would you say? How do you get clients? Like, do you find clients and then you pitch them directly, or you maybe connect with other creatives to get referrals, you know, like creating referral partners?
I'd say it's a mix. I'm not necessarily pitching at the moment. Again, since 2020, I haven't pitched to anybody specifically, but what, especially here in Ireland, and I think in the industry in general, it doesn't matter what you know, it's about who you know. And so making genuine connections is the idea. So with LinkedIn, I might reach out to say somebody that I think we could potentially work together on something that will be mutually beneficial. And so then I might connect with them on LinkedIn and then say, hey, do you want to go get a coffee? Let's chat, or like, I would love to hear more about this. And that just gives an opportunity to connect with them in person. I find that when you connect with somebody in person, the likelihood of them being hired is much higher than somebody who just connects digitally. And then again, that creates this referral process as well. So you've made that real life connection, and then that person might not hire you, but they might suggest you to somebody that they know, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk a little bit about pricing. How do you price your services? Maybe Like, if you can walk us through, how would you, do you price it based on the project or per time or per illustration, or how does that work with graphic designers who are actually more into illustration?
Yeah, so this is something that I had to learn. Illustration is very different from graphic design, as in you can't charge hourly, you don't really do project basis. It's charged based on a licensing fee. So very similar to the music industry in that way. So illustrators charge a licensing fee for your illustration. So depending on the potential value of that illustration or where it's going to live, the range is going to change. So it could be the same illustration, but if it's just for, say, an internal corporate in-house thing, the price is going to be much lower. Whereas if it's for an out-of-home, you know, large, massive billboard, it's going to be massively shifted. So it's basically a value-based pricing system using a license to do that. And so the other thing that also varies is based on client, right? If it's a mom and pop, you can't really charge the same as you would a corporate, because the value is going to be huge or vastly different between the two. So mom and pop, their only value is they're kind of looking to get the bottom line. They want something pretty to just kind of, you know, attract some customers. As they grow into larger corporates, the value becomes substantial because, number one, they're investing in all the advertisement stuff. So they need this to go well. And then that illustration has a potential to bring in more customers, bring in more revenue. And so in the long run, that gets charged at a higher rate. So depending on the usage rights that the client is looking for, it's going to be priced differently. And generally, most of the time, we're not selling our copyright. We're selling only our license. If we were to sell our copyright, it has to be, again, a substantial sum. Basically, it's equivalent of like 70 years or something like that to sell a copyright.
Okay, so I can understand that because I'm a graphic designer. I'm also a business coach for designers. But how do you describe that to clients? How do you explain that to them? Or you don't maybe explain that to them, you just give them the price.
Oh, I just tell them that it's a license-based process. And generally, I have a conversation before I actually take on the work. So I'll have a face-to-face. I'll say, here's the way I work. Here's how pricing works. What is the usage rights we're looking for? Here in Ireland, for the most part, most people are quite aware. I'm also part of a group called Illustrators Ireland, which is kind of like one of the governing bodies of illustration. And so they have a document as well that we can send to potential clients who don't know anything about illustration. But I think it's quite established, at least in the UK and Ireland, that illustrators work on a licensing basis. As long as you're clear about how that works, they're usually on board with it.
Yeah, yeah. And even if they don't understand it fully, you can always educate them because they don't know what they don't know. And sometimes we don't understand that, you know, when clients come to us and they're looking for different options that they can choose from or whatever it is. And when we educate them on why we provide like one logo design or one book cover, or, you know, instead of like giving them 10 different options to choose from, then they understand where we are coming from and they understand why they're going to get one solution for their one problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. So something that many designers, creatives in general, are afraid of is AI. So I want to touch base like on that just a little bit. Yeah, like, yeah. How do you see like ever evolving AI? Like, do you think it will replace creatives or it will help them? And do you use it?
I think it's a tool, just like when digital art came about. So if you look at the history of how we've been working, we were working traditionally with paints and used to typeset by cutting out all the pages and sticking it all together. And then there was a digital tool to do it. Obviously, earlier on, they were like, oh, digital stuff, that's, you know, you're cheapening the art or the tradition of it. But then 10 years down the line, it's become standard industry, because obviously there's so much you can do so much faster with digital and the amount of changes you can do. I see AI as part of the evolution there. I think at the moment, it's more of an ideation tool than an actual tool to create work. I can see it because I used to work as a graphic designer slash art director in ad agencies. I can see it as like, this would be great for me to like quickly think of an idea that I could then pitch to my creative director. And then we could use that to pitch it to the potential client and then hire an illustrator to create the type of work we're looking for. So that would really speed up the process rather than just drawing the scamps myself. It'll be so much easier to explain to the client as well, because there's a visual ready to do that, go there. My real concern with it right now is, of course, around the licensing and the copyright. These are things that need to be learned, kind of worked out, as it were, because definitely I've seen a lot of people who are taking advantage of the system and ripping off existing illustrators and artists who have spent decades building their specific style, building their specific ethos, and for an AI to replicate it almost perfectly, that really is, you know, stealing their rights, basically stealing their potential revenue as well. So I think that's the key legal concern or the key legal kink that needs to be worked out before this can really move forward into industry level. And the other thing is, with any technology that comes, the onus is really on each individual to take responsibility for their actions, you know? So, I mean, in school, you had like kids plagiarizing essays as soon as the internet came along. And then there was a software to see how much plagiarism you have, and you'll get caught eventually. So it's really learning to take responsibility for those actions. Yeah. As for myself, like, I've only used it once for a project with the Young Guns. They asked me to do an AI collaboration. So I used it for a background that I created, and then I created my characters on top of it. So it did speed up the process a little. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, but I had fun like testing it out and playing with it.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely use it, but to the levels where... So we mostly use ChatGPT because it helps us with ideas and it helps us with our own marketing. So we do inbound marketing as well, where we post blog posts, we post on Instagram, things like that, LinkedIn as well. And it helped us with, hey, we need some ideas for blog posts for skincare lines or for, for whatever it is. You get the ideas. It's a really good starting point. And to your point, how you mentioned, it's a tool. It really is a tool. It feels like someone who you can brainstorm with, but that's specific to ChatGPT. I did try DALL-E just to see if I'm getting like some ideas, and it was also really good. And there are many, many tools, so AI tools, that can help designers really speed up the process and not necessarily replace them or create graphics or any designs for them, but at least they're a good starting point where you can get inspiration from, like how if you're designing packaging for, let's say, vitamins for supplements, and it has to be like super cool and positive and it helps you with your mood or something like that. Now I'm all about positivity talking to you. So if you go to Google, you would, you know, type that in or look for something similar and click on images and get ideas. That's how I see AI tools as well. It's just something to start from. And I think it helps speed up the process.
Yeah, I've definitely used it to try and hone in on a good YouTube title, because sometimes it's hard to come up with the right title for your YouTube video. And I've used ChatGPT to do that Also, sometimes the titles for some articles I write, it's great for that. But a really good example of how AI is working really well, a lot of the times we're not aware that it's there and it's being used because it's already been integrated into the software. So I use DaVinci Resolve to edit my videos, and they have an AI noise canceling AI, which is brilliant because, you know, you put in a video that's slightly, you know, it's got background noise and it really cuts it and then just pulls out the person's voice, which is perfect. You know, and I think it is eventually going to get to that place where it'll make our lives easier rather than it being really something to compete with.
Because yeah, unless, end of the day, unless you're a podcast editor and then you lose your job.
No, I still think you need the podcast editor to work out what's most important about the podcast. The AI can take out the noise, but not, you know, be able to articulate what's the most important message within the podcast, you know, and
definitely
pull that together. So,
yeah, definitely. So to go back to illustrations and having your own business, like what advice would you give to someone who is maybe just starting out as a freelance illustrator and looking to grow their business, looking to get their clients, looking to get to the next level?
Yeah, I think the key thing with an illustration business is really your portfolio. So learning to put together the right type of portfolio, put together. It's better to have a few really good pieces of work rather than 15 or 16 like mixed pieces of work. So ensure that you're doing quality over quantity, number one. Number two is honing in on your illustrative style, even if it's not the style, at least the area you want to focus in on, because illustration is quite a large industry. So there's like fashion in illustration, there's medical illustration, there's advertising, there's editorial, there's children's books. So at least hone in on the key industry you want to focus in on, and that will give you at least the type of work you need to develop for that specific industry. And it doesn't matter if you don't have real clients yet, create the work that you want to get hired to be hired for. So if you want to get hired to do editorial, get some articles off Google and pretend you've been hired to do that. How would you illustrate the article for that? And the better you get at articulating your value, who you are and what you can do and for whom you can do it, the more likely you will be hired.
Yeah, exactly. I see designers posting everything and anything in their portfolio just to showcase more of their designs versus having more quality designs. So I think that it's better even to have just four. And I mean, it's not to just, but let's say just compared to 15. I think it's better to have four really good case studies, portfolio pieces versus have 15 college looking like that are all random for different industries. And then, you know, just whoever is listening to this podcast episode, if you're a designer and you don't know what to put in your portfolio, just think about who your ideal client is and what is that they want to see. Because if you put everything and anything, you're just going to confuse them, and they're definitely going to find someone who they resonate with better. So, you know, just really focus on who you want to get in the future.
Yeah, and I'd say also add your personality or your spice to the portfolio. I think that's what you like when I worked as an art director, when we were looking to hire illustrators, that's what distinguished one illustrator from, say, a whole bunch of illustrators doing very similar stuff. Your style comes from your personality. So that spice is important to stand out from the crowd.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so you mentioned that you do illustrations for children's book. And now, since I already talked to you before we started recording, I know that your new children's book, Wild City, is coming soon in April, depending on when we release this podcast episode, if it's going to be before or after. But can you tell us more about the book?
Yeah, so It's really interesting because this is almost like a full circle story. So in 2018, I really wanted to get into children's books. And I'd written this book called Into the Woods We Go. And I was super excited. So I sent it out to all these publishers. 6 months go by, nothing. 1 year goes by, I get one letter and it's a no. And I was like devastated at this time. And so I sort of gave up on children's books for that little bit. And then in 2020, I realized, okay, that pause period gave me the time to really think about what sort of impact I wanted to make. And I decided I can't wait for permission to do what I really love to do and what I think will make an impact. And so I self-published my first children's book. And through that process, I got publishers eventually who came to me rather than me going to them. And so this book is a variation off the wild, Into the Woods We Go. And it's called Wild City. It's about using your imagination to bring the boring situations and turning them amazing. So Wild City comes out in April, and I'm super excited about it because this is a great book coming out for kids to encourage imagination. And I think imagination is one of the most important things or tools that we have as human beings. It's what separates us from everything else out there.
Yeah, definitely. And when you say it's children's book, is it for some certain age range? Is it for like 3-year-old, 5, 7, 9?
Yeah, so it's 5 to 8 years old. It's a picture book. So every page is a full double page spread. And
I could guess that it's full of illustrations.
Yeah. That's amazing. The type of books I want to make.
Yeah, exactly. And are you going to self-publish it or you're going through a publisher?
No, this is by a publisher called O'Brien Press. It's an Irish publisher. So
perfect. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's really exciting. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the Profitable Graphic Designer podcast. Before we end this podcast episode, can you please tell us where people can find you? Like, tell us your website, Instagram, or wherever you hang out.
Yeah, so all my social media handles are at Wacko Chacko, so WHACKOCHACKO. And that's the same as my website, wackochacko.com.
So I love that.
Look me up, I'm there.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on the Profitable Graphic Designer. In addition to this podcast, we have created some amazing online courses to help you set up your business, get more clients, and scale to the income level you desire. If you need help developing your graphic brand or web portfolio so it stands out, if you want to learn how to create proposals new clients will say yes to, if you're still trying to figure out how much to charge for your services, and if becoming the go-to designer for your dream clients is your goal this year, then I invite you to enroll in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer, or one of our other specialized online courses. To learn more about it and get started, visit AventiveAcademy.com. See you next time.